everybody. What's... Oh, no, you didn't. I thought that was just talk. Look, you can't. You can't do that. They'll fire you on general principle for that, all right? It's just not a good idea. You've got to defuse it. You have to. Trust me. Well, we'll get somebody who can then.
Well, it looks like they built a relish bomb. The cook and the dishwasher are so upset, although maybe angry, furious is the proper word, for the impending sale of the diner that they built a relish bomb, which they are going to threaten to detonate if the new owners, whoever they might be, change one inch of their beloved diner. Relish bomb, of course, is, well, they've got some old M80s left over from, oh, I don't know, 1967, and they duct tape them to a large institutional jar of mayonnaise. Plastic, so we don't have to worry about shards of glass shooting everywhere. But the idea is, and this is like 8 gallons of relish. They set that off, and it just blows relish everywhere. Now that stuff, once it dries, you've got to chisel it off. And you can't chisel the quilted aluminum on the walls, for example, without damaging it. So I'm not sure what they're trying to prove here. Maybe that they're desperate men. Desperate times called for relish bombs. Well, I think they're rethinking it now after I told them that they might get fired for it, and they're now staring and scratching their head in the traditional gesture of befuddlement over how to defuse the thing. Well,
you made it.
Oh, everyone's on edge. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner, which is still exactly the diner that we left last week. I am James Lilacs, and sitting here at my long accustomed counter space at the boomerang pattern Fermita stool. Sorry, it's been a long day. Hi, I'm James Lilacs, and I'm sitting here at the diner at my accustomed place to the long boomerang pattern Fermica counter here at the diner out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. And it's been a good day. It's been a good week, for that matter. Just to bring you up to speed on the... I hesitate to say it. The giant Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future, nothing to report. Doesn't appear to have gone back into the past and changed anything. In fact, it's just standing outside the diner. And it's sort of become an object of interest among the locals. Just standing there like the Jolly Green Giant, as a matter of fact. People are talking about building him a pedestal. And why not? Make it a tourist attraction like the Jolly Green Giant. Nobody builds giant commercial advertising icons anymore. Nobody puts up any heroic statuary. If somebody does put up a piece of sculpture in a public place, it's usually an incomprehensible assemblage of metal, which looks as though you have to get a tetanus shot before you'd examine it at close range. Or it's just hideously ugly. There's a thing in the plaza of the State of Illinois building in Chicago. I think the sculptor's name is Georges Dubuffet. And it's like everything else he's ever done. It's white and it's black. And it's shapeless and it's formless. And it looks like something that, you know, like the fever dream of a zebra who just threw up some chicken a la king. It's just, it's hideous. I mean, it looks like there was this giant zit in another dimension and they squoze it and this thing popped out in Chicago. I don't know anybody who likes it. It just, it looks ill. It looks shaky and shimmery, and it's just wrong. But there it is, and it cost them untold hundreds of thousands of dollars to drop that thing in the plaza. No, I'm old school this way. I prefer my statues either men on horseback or allegorical figures with a sword in one hand and a book in the other, teaching us virtues. But of course, these things always end up forgotten. That's the sad part. There's one at the University of Minnesota that I walk past nearly every single day. It took me a long time to actually look at the weathered letters on the plinth and see who he was. Turns out it was Mr. Pillsbury. The father of the Pillsbury Doughboy, so to speak. The fellow who founded the Pillsbury milling empire. You'd expect him to have a bag of flour in one hand and, you know, and a whip in the other. Old school plutocrat turned his money the old-fashioned way. But no, he's standing there looking very civilized, as he was, of course. One hand is on the lapel of his jacket, and the other holds a pamphlet and is gesturing toward the library, which was presumably built with his money, even though he doesn't bear his name. And I would guess that 1 out of 100 people who pass him know that this is the father of the Pillsbury Doughboy. Mostly they just see this old coot with a Van Dyke beard and a bunch of pigeon excrement on his head. So the more these figures stand around, actually, the more they recede and become sort of human-shaped trees that nobody pays much attention to. It's a pity. So I say we need more large public statuary, especially of a commercial venture. And if we can have the Jolly Green Giant down on Blue Earth, we can have the giant 9-foot Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future up on a pedestal here at the diner. People will come from miles around, take the pictures, bring the kids. I've actually seen the Jolly Green Giant. It's quite a wonderful statue. And he faces north, as though waiting for the Canadians to do something. Hands are on his hips, expression of great cheer. And his butt is facing the town, now that I think about it. So if ever he came to life and bent over, a terrible wind might blow from his hindquarters, and a pestilence would lay the people low. Oh, well, that's the risk you run. Anyway, well, let's see. Let's see what's on the chalkboard menu by the door today. Leftovers, granted, but it's State of the Union sampler. Love that. It's this big plate, like 67 individual different items on it. Very few of them actually get eaten, but people love to look at them and argue about them. You know, there's usually one or two things in there that end up getting consumed. But and then sometimes adjacent restaurants will come by and offer a rebuttal, so there's more different things to look at and examine and chew over. But, well, maybe I'll try that. What I'm most interested in is just diving right into the jukebox, frankly, because it's been a week where I've just done nothing but work and work and work and write and type and write and type, and so I'm looking forward to some music. New music. Different music. Things I've never heard before. I can't tell you sometimes how much I hunger just to hear something new and different. And not in the modern sense. Because any time I, you know, download some electronic or techno music or something, I'm guaranteed to hear something I've never heard before, but it's a manufactured bleep or a blurt or a sound that somebody's invented, and it's very nice, and the novelty is great, but as far as something new, truly new, new musically, new rhythmically, new in terms of the way it just looks at the popular song and completely reinterprets the genre, I look for it. I'm disappointed. So, you know, every time I come here, I'm hopeful that the fellow who stocks this jukebox every night has come up with something that I've never heard before. We all know how this is going to turn out, don't we? Yeah, well, all right, let me just punch up something here at random, and I'm going to choose, good Lord, from 1925. All right, well, A1. Wait a minute. Are you with me on this one? Does this sound familiar to you? Because it sounds really darn familiar to me. But I can't quite place where. Let's try it again.
Been a restless rover in search of femininity. I've met the pretty girls all over, but only one appealed to me. My heart I gaily tossed her, this Spanish kid in old Madrid. She captured me and then I lost her, and ever since I'm off my lid. I never will forget her face, I'm searching for her every place. I'm looking for Titina, Titina, my Titina. I've searched from Palestina to London and Peru. I'll die without Titina, I can't eat my farina. I don't want Rosalina, Titina, I want you. Ah, mama, papa, you ought to see Titina, Titina, my Titina. Oh boy, you've never seen a girl like this Titina. She's only 17 and looks just like a queen. She's sweeter than Wheatina.
Okay, obviously I'm playing with you. I know what this song is. Matter of fact, the first few bars of this, I knew what this was, and it opened up my eyes. Really. You haven't heard it? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. That was 1925. Let's go ahead to about 1936 or so, which would be 11 years later, when a shortish yet athletic fellow with a Hitler-esque mustache takes the stage in a small cafe to sing a song. Charlie Chaplin in Modern Times. That is a great beat. Now, to set the stage here, he's written the lyrics to the song on his shirt cuffs, but he does this enthusiastic dance before the audience, and as he throws his arms out, the shirt cuffs shoot out into the crowd. He doesn't, of course, realize it at the moment, but later, when he checks his shirt cuffs to begin his song, he realizes he has no lyrics. Paulette Goddard, who is beautiful, tells him just to sing anyway. He musters up his nerve and begins.
La spinage au la bouchon, cigarette portobello, siracchi spacaletto, chi le tu la chi la tua.
Those are nonsense lyrics, of course. C'est bella guisatore, je notre soccafore, je notre sicavore, je la tu la tu la qua. La spinach ou les bouchons, cigarette portobello, cigarette spaghetto, tila tule tule qua. Nonsense, but memorable to the extent that I don't think anybody remembers the original song, which was called Titiana. She was 17, and he couldn't eat his farina, the original singer sang. Now that's interesting because they still make farina. As a matter of fact, I could order... Can I get some farina? Milk and sugar. Milk and sugar. See, I mean, you can still order farina. There's just not too many things that are mentioned in a 1925 popular song that you can still order off the menu or find in your grocery store. Anyway, that's the song that Charlie Chaplin was singing in 36. And all the years that I saw that movie, never occurred to me that that was actually a song that had a pedigree, so to speak. It was part of the musical vocabulary, the cultural vocabulary that everybody brought to the movie. In 36, and as unfortunately as typical for Chaplin, he was sort of dragging 20s cultures with him into the 30s. It's a silent movie, but it's got, as you can hear, music and laughter. And Paulette Goddard. What the... Oh, damn bug's back again. I didn't even see the thing. Well, it looks like there's some other 1925 songs here in the jukebox. This one's interesting. I'm sleeping with the meth dealer's sister. Not really, but you'll see what I mean.
One day, just by chance, at a cab driver's dance, a wonderful girlie I found. A bootlegger's daughter who always drank water unless there was liquor around. So I married the bootlegger's daughter, and really it isn't so bad. I work all the day, but it's nothing but play, just taking out orders for Dad. I know that the stuff's full of poison, but me and my sweetie won't die. When we want a drink, we go out to the sink, the bootlegger's daughter and I. When I asked her to wed, go to father, she said, he's down down at the still making a tin. Said he, it's with joy that I welcome you, boy. Just hang up your hat and come in. So I married the bootlegger's daughter, and she was a terrible queen. I kissed her goodnight where the moonlight was bright, and I've been on a jag ever since. They say that her money is tainted, though it ain't quite as taint as they say. She came with a breath that would scare you to death, but Listerine took it away. So I married the bootlegger's daughter, and now I'm just rolling in dough. The way she drinks gin is a terrible sin, but girls will be girls, as you know. Prohibition's the least of our worries, for the whole bloomin' world may go dry. Her dad made his will, and he left the old still to the bootlegger's daughter and I. Oh, hail, hail, the gang's all here. Mustn't say the naughty word, mustn't say the naughty word. I'm meeting the very best people and moving in high society. Tonight the Mexican consul is bathing the tonsil with the bootlegger's daughter and me.
Well, what's the naughty word, eh? I mean, think about it. What are the original lyrics? It's from Pirates of Penzance, goes back to the 19th century. Hail, hail, the gang's all here. What the deuce do we care? What the deuce do we care? Now, I can't believe the deuce was forbidden to be used on a record in 1925, which suggests that the song had morphed somewhat and employed a coarser word somewhere along the line, and everybody knew it. Which is why all he had to do was say, mustn't say the naughty word, and there were knowing looks and nods and laughs all around, because everybody knew precisely. Well, you'll note that he also mentions Listerine. Farina in the first one, Listerine in this one. Listerine had been around for some time, and actually Listerine was not named after any of its inventors, but was named after Joseph Lister, who was a man who invented antiseptics, more or less. So, there you have it. Product names, brand names, and mysterious allusions to profanities that must not be spoken, but that everybody knows. Popular culture of 1925 is a little bit richer than people tend to think. But, of course, that's entirely typical, isn't it? We think we've invented product placement and ribald lyrics. No, the Red Wire. I think it's always the... They're trying to defuse the pickle bomb. It's always the Red Wire. Did you not write it down when you... Well, I'm going to have to help them here. Not that I have a great deal of experience in defusing homemade pickle bombs, but I'll have to lend whatever ersatz expertise I can muster. Let me just pop up a song here from the jukebox at random, something preferably from the latter part of the 20th century, and I'll be right back.
In the valley of the jolly, ho, ho, ho!
On me. One day he left his valley path. I mean to say, this cat was mad. Now looking around, he wasn't gone long. And then he ran into an Amazon. Well, this changed his whole complexion.
Broccoli.
He had never seen such beautiful sight.
For it,
he looked at her, and she looked at him, and she almost passed out from fright. Looked at her, thought what a dilly. He touched her once, she slapped him silly. This was something he had never sensed. He looked at her as she commenced. Now listen, pal, this ain't no fluke. I can't see going with the big green coop. You've heard about the jolly green giant. Don't blind.
That's not going to work, guys. You hooked up the secondary detonating mechanism to the primary trigger so that if anybody tries to defeat one, they're going to trigger off the second and it's going to blow up anyway, and there's going to be relish-related mayhem. I mean, what were you thinking? The point of this was to threaten, not actually spew pickle everywhere. Where's Jack Bauer when you need him? He'd have the protocols. He'd have the schematics.
Sorry. While we're working on the relish bomb here, let's pause for a word or two from our sponsors.
Up in the valley, old man Moss always found water. So the green giant really put him to the test.
There's lots of water here, but almost no water here.
Right again. You see, Niblet's brand corn is vacuum-packed with almost no water to keep it crisp. It's the giant's own special corn that tastes like corn on the cob.
But without the cob.
Try Green Giant Niblet's corn.
From the valley of the Jolly, ho, 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 Green Giant.
This is Buddy the Kidder, spinning out with the top 40, the middle 30, and the bottom 20 for you.
We asked Bud Kidder what he thought of the taste of Listerine.
I hate it. This one's for my little pals at Richmond High. Hi, hi! But I use it twice a day. Listerine kills germs that can cause bad breath, and it's strong to last long. It's true, this stuff works. And, like, I gotta keep my engineer happy, you know. And now kids, late sound, great sound.
Listerine antiseptic. It's got the taste people hate. Twice a day.
Let's just take a break, all right? Let's take five. We need to clear our heads and then get a fresh run at this, all right?
Oh, man. The busboy, it turns out, was the guy who sent us up the pickle bomb. He did all of the wiring, and the color-coded wires, which we thought were leading to the detonator, actually were leading to a dummy detonator. The actual wires that control the detonator are all white. Of course, it makes perfect sense. Why would you want to put color-coded wires leading to the actual detonator? You're just giving hints and clues to the guy who comes along and has to defuse the thing. If they're all white, then the bomb diffuser technician opens up the panel and looks at it and says, "Oh, crap." And he doesn't even know where to begin. Unfortunately, of course, the zealots that they were now trying to defuse a pickle bomb. And there's not even anybody here to spatter with relish. I mean, it's not like the new owners, whoever they are going to walk through the door at any minute and be covered with green pickly goo. Pointless! Well, I know, I can while away the time with some mail. Luckily, I have a new mail theme here. I've been trying out several. That zip code theme just got under my skin, and this one came in over the transom. Let me just cue it up here. I got them to put it in the jukebox for me, an old scratchy 45. Haven't listened to it. Let's see if this will be our new diner mail theme.
When the mailman says no mail today,
for criminy Joseph's sake.
To someone who's old and gray, though she's waited for years, she smiles through her tears and just thank you with all she can say. Though the rest of the world may be gay.
All right, well, we'll try again next week to find one. Today's letter comes from Mr. Bill Witherspoon, Boise, Idaho. I assume it's Idaho. It just says Boise here. How many Boises can there be? And he says, "Dear Mr. Lilac," so he pronounces it correctly, "I hear that the diner is being sold, as you have been weeping and moaning about now for 2 weeks. Who cares if the diner is sold? I get all of my food online." Well, so that's an interesting point. A lot of people nowadays in this world do get their food online, but you need restaurants like the diner to provide that food in the first place. Where do you think that food comes from? Right. Well, the diner has a thriving mail-order business, in fact, where special bacon butter burgers are shipped across the country, packed in dry ice. Actually, 40 pounds of dry ice for every bacon butter burger. Part of this, of course, is because the diner happens to sit on a very large deposit of natural dry ice there, the dry ice caverns way below us. But, all right. Actually, the diner has a sideline business in selling dry ice. They just sell dry ice, okay, and they throw in some bacon butter burgers there to pretend like they're shipping food to people, but I'm sure people just throw them out when they get there because they order dry ice, not a hamburger. What's this doing here? Hey, just realized something. That could be what the new owners are trying to do. The new owners aren't buying the diner for its fine establishment, its traditions, its je ne sais quoi. The diner's being sold because the new owners want their hands on the dry ice deposits. That's got to be it. Oh, they're going back. Oh, they're all right. Well, they're working on the the relish bomb here. I should really go help them.
Then again, hey guys, I got an idea. Why don't you just take the relish bomb outside and detonate it there? Solve all of our problems. No mess, no fuss, no worry. There you go. You're welcome. No charge.
All right, well, they're struggling to get the relish bomb outside. Go. Okay. They're setting it down by our friend. And backing away. And the dishwasher has taken out his pistol. It's remarkable how many people around here have guns. And they're taking shelter behind a car. Oops. Holy crow, that's a lot of relish. Wow. And the majority of it seems to have splashed and stuck to the large 9-foot Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future who's been just standing outside for a week. So he's now green. I'd worry about copyright infringement, but he doesn't look very jolly. Well, that'll do it for this week, folks. Thanks for dropping by. This has been The Diner for Friday, January 26, 2007. I'm James Lilacs, and I'll see you down the road.